I've got something you need to check out. Now, there's ClickUp. If your day starts with 10, 15, 25, or even 40 open tabs, and ends with decision fatigue, because instead of doing your work, you're managing how to manage it. Spreadsheets here, docs there, Slack convos everywhere. It was chaos. But now, there's ClickUp. It brings together projects, docs, conversations, everything in one workspace. ClickUp doesn't just support your workflow, it upgrades it with automation, AI, and customization. It's already trusted by over 4 million teams worldwide, and it helps them finish projects 30% faster. Try ClickUp for free and get 15% off all AI add-ons just for signing up at clickup.com/invest. That's clickup.com/invest. Close your tabs and open ClickUp.
On radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Wednesday, January 21st, 2025 edition of Invest Talk. And this is another day with a lot of headlines. We have Davos in the air. Trump's speech looks like he tacoed on Greenland, at least for now. And a lot of market gyrations intraday. The market rallied, then it sold off, rallied again, then sold off kind of near the end of the day. So it was quite the interesting day per usual for 2026. And, you know, the big question for you is what's on your mind? What do you think of what's going to happen? Do you think this is going to break NATO? Is it going to have ramifications on markets? Are European investors going to dump U.S. assets? How does this impact harder assets like gold and silver? These are all things that we're going to discuss. And most importantly, will be your questions. So whatever's on your mind, we are here to answer those questions. 888-99-CHART is the number to get through. I'm host of Invest Talk, Justin Klein, and this hour is dedicated to you. So whatever is on your mind, we'll bring you data, perspective, so that you can become a better investor, a more informed investor about really what's happening in the world, how it's impacting markets, your portfolios, and ultimately your investment strategy. So that's what this hour is dedicated to. But With that in mind, we will pivot over to our first caller question. And then after that, I'll get to our market performance and the topics we will discuss for the rest of the hour. So let's tackle that first caller question now.
Hey, Justin and Luke, thank you so much for all your help. I had a quick question. I would like to know your thoughts on IRMD, India, Roger, Mary, David. I feel like it's a little stretched, but I like the fundamentals. Would love to know your thoughts. Thank you so much.
All right. Looking at IRMD is the symbol. This is IRadimed. It manufactures non-magnetic IV infusion pump systems and other MRI compatible products. Interesting. Okay. So I've never heard of this name. Very small, pretty small, about $1.3 billion market cap. It was much smaller. It was trading at just, let's see, $40 back in the fall of 2024. Now we're at $103. So quite the rally. That's because it's had good consistent growth. Growth has accelerated a little bit from around 10% in late 24 to the mid-teens last year. So that's certainly a positive. And okay, so yeah, it manufactures and markets MRI devices. I'm wondering if these are the full body MRIs, something I do, Prunovo. Not an ad or anything, just something that I do full body just to potentially flag anything. Luckily, my last one was good. So I'm wondering if these are the type of machines that they are selling. Certainly, there's a lot of demand for diagnostics. I think this is an underrated theme with AI that we're starting to look into, which is, hey, if you can get more data on your body from blood tests to toxicity tests, to MRIs, to x-rays, et cetera, feed that into AI. And I say you don't need a doctor, but certainly it helps you maybe flag things that sometimes even a doctor can't do. So I think that's an underrated theme. And, you know, is this part of that? Is it, you know, the wealthier just getting into more of these preventive maintenance type of services? And so I think that's the theme here. The problem is that the valuation just is not there anymore. You're talking about price to sales ratio of 16, very expensive. Enterprise value to EBITDA around 48. Free cash flow is only at 14 million on a $1.2 billion enterprise value, which is about a 1% free cash flow yield. Not very good at all. Free cash flow is headed higher, but still it's at a very, very low rate. So unless they have some sort of, only thing I can imagine here is they have some sort of IP that has incredible value. That would be the only reason I would probably buy this. Otherwise, it's just way, way, way too expensive. You missed it, frankly. So I would pass on IRMD. There will be a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so. And time permitting, we're going to get to all of it. And our main focus point is about private credit. It is cracking to some degree, but will that manifest? How does that impact those that got duped into buying private credit and private equity type investments over the past number of years? And, you know, this has been kind of on the back burner, but does it come to the surface this year, those cracks and really those defaults? And, you know, what happens with liquidity with these names? So we're going to look at that, a lot of the business development companies that are in the marketplace, et cetera. So that's what our main focus will be about. But we have other topics on the docket. And we're going to talk about small caps and mid caps. Everyone talks about small cap or large cap. What about mid caps? I'm going to look at some data on small caps and mid caps, and not just over the last 10, 20 years, but going back 30 plus years. And right now, mid and small caps are absolutely destroying the large caps. And should that be shocking? Well, if you look at the data, not so much. We'll look at that. Well, so CEOs are rolling out AI. Hey, I'm a CEO. I've rolled out AI within my business, and it can cut both ways. And there's a new study about the impact, the efficiency of AI. And so I want to unpack that. And, you know, how does that really play? It's not, 'cause it's not just about the AI industry, because this is going to have ramifications across the economy, especially based on what verticals, what the speed of the rollout is, the speed of the advancements and the applications of AI. All of that is going to be very important. So we'll dig into that story. And then lastly, if we have time, we'll dig into the topic around Deutsche Bank's report that there are $8 trillion of U.S. bonds and equities that could be sold if tensions continue to ramp up between the United States and NATO and the European allies, and maybe they're allies anymore, considering our current trajectory. So what would that mean for markets? So we'll look at that. We also have voice bank calls on AI data centers, as well as Costco, COST. And of course, most importantly, will be your live call. So whatever's on your mind, 888-99-CHART is how to get through and ask your question on today's show. But we're going to head into a quick break. And remember that you can call anytime. Leave your question on the InvestTalk voice bank, or if you're listening via our live stream on our website or possibly on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. Hang on, because I'm going to go to today's market activity coming up next.
Serious investors are certain to have finance and investment questions.
I'm looking at an ETF. It's Goldman Sachs, NASDAQ.
And the best person to ask your question in the right way is you.
If that would be a good hold to have in a Roth IRA for the long-term horizon.
And 24/7, rain or shine, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero stand ready to provide their unbiased answers.
This isn't really a copper play. This is a iron ore play with some aluminum copper.
If you're looking at ETFs that hold so few names that are so top heavy, I think it is probably ill-advised to pay an expense ratio like this in order to get exposure that you could really get yourself.
Your participation makes InvestTalk better.
Hey guys, Brian from North Carolina here. I'm a big fan of the show. I haven't missed an episode in over 5 years.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. Have you heard about parallel investing? Parallel investing differentiates KPP Financial because it aligns the interests of KPP principals with those of their clients as they each share the same risks and potential for success. Learn more anytime at investtalk.com. Just click on Portfolio Review. The InvestTalk phone lines are open, waiting for your finance and investment questions. 888-99-CHART.
Now, let's pivot to the market today. It was a nice bounce back day. We had Davos, we had Trump's speech that overall was a Trump taco. He basically said that he had they worked out a framework of a deal about for a potential Greenland deal, and that they would hold off on new tariffs on the EU on February 1st. So the market certainly liked that. And, you know, there's the deal, there's nothing public. Yeah, he was asked about what the framework is and kind of said in my own mind. So we'll see. Once again, as in typical Trump fashion, which is escalate, then de-escalate, escalate, de-escalate. And we'll see where this ultimately goes. The Supreme Court did hear oral arguments on the Trump administration case around Fed Governor Lisa Cook. So we should hear something about that. Should have some impact on the future Fed appointments. So that'll be interesting as well. Not a whole lot of economic news on the front. But really what was interesting is you still had, even though you had a rough day yesterday and you had that nice bounce back, still small caps actually outperformed once again. And really the leaders higher were Google. So the leaders of recently, besides NVIDIA was up 3% today. That's been kind of a laggard recently. So that did have a pretty nice day, but Microsoft down 2.2% on the day, Broadcom down 1% on the day, Google up 2%, and names like Palantir, Netflix, and Oracle were all down as well. So what I'm seeing, this is what I'm noticing. Any AI name related to OpenAI, you do not want to have much exposure there. It's basically saying, as I said in my weekend video, Google is winning the AI race. That's what the market is telling you. And the whole promises of these other companies that are going to get business because OpenAI is going to invest in their chips or data centers or whatever, the market is saying no, that we don't want exposure to that. Okay. And so that is an underlying theme to the recent trend starting in 2026. In addition, there's other sectors that continue to do very, very well. Industrials, Caterpillar up 2.6% on the day, Deere up 4% on the day. Even so, healthcare had a nice bounce back. Eli Lilly up about 3.5% on the day. You had Gilead Sciences up 4%. Amgen up nearly 4% as well. So there was some strength there. Oil was doing okay as well. So a lot of green across the board. Really the positive was that yields were down and the trade were across the curve around 4 to 5 basis points, really on the long end. So you're still seeing rates generally on an uptrend, but a nice pullback today. Dollar index was up 0.2% on the day. Gold finished up 1.5% at fresh record highs above 4,800 an ounce. So kind of no matter what happens, good, bad, or indifferent for the equity markets or for geopolitical stability or instability, gold just does well. Now, silver did pull back down 2.1% on the day. Bitcoin futures about up 0.6% on the day. WTI settled up 0.4% on the day. You know, it continues to be interesting that Bitcoin just can't really get off the map. The mat. Still below 90,000. So you had that nice little bounce back to around 95, but ever since it started to fade and just remains in a downtrend over the last week. Yeah, peak got around 97,000 actually back on the 14th. Now we're sub 90. So that is a quite indicator of liquidity that may be drying up a little bit. But ultimately, I think we're in a choppy period, very headline driven. And that's where we're at. And you have to understand that this is going to be a very whipsaw-y market for the foreseeable future. As I said kind of a couple weeks ago, usually the White House loses the midterms. That's the bottom line. That I think only two out of the last, I can't even remember, it was something like 20-something midterms that the current administration held steady or increased seats in Congress. So odds are good that it's going to go the other way. And, you know, what happens with his ability to, President Trump's ability to push forward his agenda after the midterms. And so what that means is that he's accelerating his agenda, what he's trying to get through, both domestically and geopolitically. And so that's why this year, he thought last year was crazy. I think this year will be even crazier because, you know, he's on an even tighter timeline than he was last year. So that's what you should expect. And you got another one of those days today. Now we're heading into a break. I'm ready for your call. Whatever's on your mind, give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Justin Klein is here now, ready to take your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin, thanks for taking my call. Big fan of the show. I watch you guys a lot on YouTube as well. My question is about data centers. Companies like Cummins, even companies like Caterpillar, seems to be a great need for AI-type data centers and mission-critical facilities, you know, defense contractors and whatnot. People running computer systems and intelligence systems that can never experience downtime, right? They've got to have power at all times. So if there's any kind of power out, intentional or not intentional, I'm seeing companies like Cummins, you know, really expand into this marketplace. And so I just wanted to know your thoughts on these types of businesses and whether or not that's a strong investment, some of the risks you might see involved there, and what we should know about these types of companies. Love the show. Thanks for taking my question.
Well, great question. And certainly you hit on a lot of very important points. The demand for AI data centers is certainly not changing. It's going to increase. It's just a matter of really the pace. And Cummins is helping really power a lot of the turbines that produce power for these data centers, because a lot of times they're bringing on these diesel engines, natural gas engines to power them themselves. Instead of pulling from the grid, they're actually creating their own power on site. And so Cummins is really driving, or is doing very well because of that excess demand coming from data centers. And so I think this is really where the best opportunity is, not necessarily the tech names. I actually think it's going to be a flip, meaning all of these big tech companies are spending a lot of CapEx where they didn't have to before. Running cloud servers isn't that expensive. It's just storing bits in the cloud. But running very energy intensive and hardware intensive with all the chips and expensive chips that go into these data centers, it's going to make their businesses much lower margin. And so I think that's where a lot of the risk is. But a lot of that capital, because it's such a competitive industry, they all want to win. They're all going to continue to spend towards this. Now, some are going to pull back and some are going to realize maybe they didn't run the calculations properly and their payback period is not as good as it was. And so there are going to be fits and starts with this. But these are certainly companies that everyone should have on their watch list. And sentiment will shift over the next, you know, 5-10 years, depending on market environment, economic environment, once again, what these tech companies do. But overall, these are going to be probably much better plays than the big tech names. Now, from time to time, we receive questions from web forums over on investtalk.com. And Amir says, can you cover Netflix earnings and your thoughts on, you know, the podcast tomorrow morning? I'm just listening to the after hours earnings call. and didn't look very good. I've shorted the stock. I'm just wondering if I should hang on, or we are looking at going into the 70s, easily tomorrow, possibly 60s. Loyal listener since the Steve days. Appreciate that. Yeah, Netflix did have earnings, and it wasn't very good, but this is a lesson for everyone out there. Netflix was down 2% today. 2%. Yeah, down, but it's 2%. And the question asker asked is, you know, will this continue to go lower? And the simple answer is, when there's bad news and it's already down, okay, it's down 36% from its 52-week high. It's in a clear downtrend. Usually what happens is there's some sort of bottom in the shorter term. Now, it doesn't mean that it's a durable bottom. The business does have to turn around, does have to improve. They have to, this deal around Warner Brothers, how much they're going to spend, how are they going to finance it, et cetera, is going to be important. But the positive here is that it's only down 2%. So you said it's going to go in the 60s or 70s. Well, it didn't. It went to 85. And frankly, there's actually technical support here. It's a 618 from the bottom back in 2023. So there's actually support in this level. So if I'm short it, I'm actually covering it here. Now, does that mean it's a great buy? Yeah, I think it's still on the expensive side. I think there's still some downside potential. So I don't think it's a good risk versus reward to the upside, but I also don't think it's a good risk versus reward anymore on the short side. It's kind of more neutral at this point. And you don't want to be in neutral positions. You want to have the odds in your favor. Okay. And I think that reaction to poor earnings tells you a lot. And I think it's time to take your profits, cover it, move on. You did well. Don't get greedy. Go from there. Now, the next invest stock, we'll dig into this story, the office to apartment transformation. With office vacancies stabilizing at record highs, developers are converting empty towers into residential units. And we will discuss the economics of adaptive reuse and the impact on commercial real estate sectors. Now, that story is tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many factors. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
It was one of the hottest asset classes of 2025.
This year, give a gift that goes far beyond the moment. An Invest 529 account. Whether it's a child, grandchild, or someone just starting out, you're helping them save for education that could open doors for a lifetime. Invest 529 is a tax-advantaged way to save for college, trade school, or even apprenticeship programs. It's flexible, easy to start, and you can contribute any amount, big or small. You can even invite your friends and family to join in, making it a meaningful group gift. Each contribution helps build a brighter future, one deposit at a time. And because the money can grow tax-free, it's a gift that really builds value over time. So instead of giving something that gets used up or set aside, give the gift that can change a life. Start an Invest 529 account today. Go to invest529.com to get started.
But cracks continue to form, and we expose the hidden default risks in private credit. I've talked about this for a number of years, that this is a very opaque industry. You don't really know where the bodies are buried. And that's an issue. That should be an issue for everybody. You want to know what you're invested in. You want to know what the risk is. And unfortunately, your money is locked up and you don't get a window into what you own like you do with public companies that have quarterly earnings reports, etc. And so more and more money continues to gather in this industry. Banks with over $10 billion in assets now have more than $2.2 trillion of exposure to non-bank financial institutions. That is private credit. And that continues to go up. And private credit now accounts for 11% of GDP and is increasingly tied to what's going on in the banking sector and the insurance sector as well, because that's where a lot of these buyers are coming from, of these assets. And so it's not just about those that own private, these illiquid, usually poor performing private credit and private equity funds that were sold by some, you know, big Wall Street bank like a Morgan Stanley or Merrill Lynch, but it's other companies within the economy as well that have bought into these assets, whether that's pension funds, endowments, as well as these insurance companies. So what's happening here? What are the trends as we enter 2026? Now, first off, credit stress is likely to increase this year to some degree. You have inflation, you have higher interest costs, a lot of loans that are coming due that these companies are going to need to refinance at higher rates, both bank loans as well as loans that are on the public market. And then you have a consumer that is weakening as well. But private credit is going to feel it the most. Expectations, this is from UBS, is that private credit defaults will rise by as much as 3% this year. Leveraged loans and high yield bonds will only likely increase by about 1%. Defaults will increase 1% this year. Okay. Now, what are the big red flags? Number one, payment in kind, PIK loans. So what this basically is you're not getting cash. You are getting more debt. That's how they're paying you. They're paying you in additional debt. So it looks like the value of your portfolio is going up because you are getting an additional asset, but it's more loans that they need to pay back, and they don't have the money, the cash flow, to pay out your interest. And there are a lot of these private equity, private debt loans that allow this if certain parameters happen. And so it puts even more pressure for the future for these companies to make that up and actually pay off that debt. But most likely, they're having problems now when, you know, there's still GDP growth and unemployment's relatively low. You think that's going to get better if the economy shifts in one way or another? Now, if the economy is better, sure. Some of them may be able to dig out of it, but most likely they won't. And this is where most of the defaults will come from. Now, what sectors are they exposed to? What's interesting is UBS said that the most vulnerable sectors, one of them is tied to AI. These are data centers that may become uneconomical. There's a downturn in AI. About 30% of newer firms with private credit could be impaired. That's according to this report, 30% of those that are tied to AI. And on the flip side, let's say AI works out and it drives disruption across enterprise software, for example. In that case, 40% of credit assets may take a hit. Why? Because a lot of these private equity firms, what did they buy? They bought software companies. They levered them up. SaaS names that are, you know, they're using that subscription service to pay down and pay off the debt. And if AI disrupts those businesses, well, there's likely defaults there as well. So in a shifting environment like this, it creates a lot of problems. If it goes one way, there are problems there. If it goes another way, there are problems there as well. So that's the overview as we head into 2026 and why I continue to say, if you can find liquidity, if you can get out of these names, you want to do that. You want to do that when there's at least potential for liquidity, because I guarantee you in a recession, you will not be able to sell these. And if you do, you're going to take a massive haircut. You're talking 40, 50, 60%. So just to highlight there, because it's a very important topic. And as I said, it's 11% of the entire GDP. Not a small amount. Now let's keep things moving and drop in another InvestTalk listener question from 888-99-CHART.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Longtime listener and KPP customer. Costco, COST. A couple weeks ago, you gave guidance on Costco. And let me just preface this by saying you're doing a much better job than I'm doing. So I appreciate you guys. So please don't take this as a criticism. But you gave guidance on Costco, stating that you saw it going down to somewhere like 670. And today it's 979. I just wondered if you could update your guidance or explain why it rose instead of dropped. Thanks so much. And thanks for all you do.
Well, thank you for continuing to be a customer. Yeah, I mean, Costco is obviously a great business. But what we've been seeing, at least a couple weeks ago, was that the momentum was waning pretty significantly. And the valuation was a bit rich, and it remains a bit rich, about 50 times forward-looking earnings. And I just don't think that at a company that is trading at that's growing revenue 8%, earnings in the low teens, deserves that type of multiple, no matter how great the business is. Okay. And that target was more of a medium-term, long-term support. Medium-term target where there would be long-term support. So there's been a rally. Obviously, it's the market expecting a reacceleration to some degree in the economy. And so Costco has improved. Now, it's still down about 8.5% from its 52-week high. So it's not like at new highs or anything, but certainly things have improved technically. Doesn't really change the overall target. It just means that it had a rally, and most likely it's a counter trend rally. Now, could it continue and break to new highs again? That's certainly a possibility. But just as nothing goes up in a straight line, it doesn't go down in a straight line. And this isn't a knock on Costco or like not Costco's a terrible investment or anything like that, because Costco is a great business. We have owned it in the past. We just don't think the valuation is worth it, and especially with the broader medium-term technical picture. Thanks for the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's pivot back to a YouTube question. We're going to get one. There we go. Selena Marie says, can you speak on the 7% sell rule? If there is an expected pullback in 2026, would applying this rule be a good strategy? Would I set a 7% trailing stop on all positions? So I've never heard of the 7% rule. I've heard of the 10% rule. I don't like any hard and fast rule like this, especially on individual positions, because a 7% move or a 10% move, whatever rule you want to put, can mean a lot for different sectors, different names. A 7 or 10% pullback in Procter & Gamble would be huge. A 7 to 10% pullback in a growth stock, a growth tech stock, or maybe even a gold miner. These are names that tend to have high volatility, and a 7 to 10% pullback in a day is normal and can happen easily in the midst of a longer term uptrend. So it's more about, okay, moving averages, long-term momentum, etc. That's how we do it. We would never put a hard and fast 7% rule, 10% rule. I think that's just foolish, especially when you're talking about various names with various historical volatility levels in different sectors, etc. So, yeah, I would never implement a rule like that. Now let's touch on small caps and mid caps. And mid caps are, right now, and small caps, they're pretty cheap. They offer diversity, and they're now moving in a great direction, especially compared to the larger cap names. Basically, since, and if you look at the chart, since all the way back in August, small and mid caps started to outperform large caps. So it was an early tell that the momentum in big tech was probably going to wane in the fourth quarter. Now, it does matter what index you're talking about. This is something on small caps that you really have to hash out. There's the most popular is the Russell 2000, but there's 40% of those companies are unprofitable. The better one to follow is always the S&P 600. And these are all small cap companies with a track record of positive earnings. So it's very important to kind of delineate what index you're talking about. And long term, the S&P 600, which is a small cap index, make sure you realize that, not S&P 500, S&P 600, it outperforms the Russell 2000 because of that consistent profitability. It shows you consistent profitability matters. Now, what a lot of people have gotten wrong over the last 10 to 15 years is that, hey, why would I be in small and mid cap? The performance has been subpar compared to the large caps. And if you just look at that time period, 15 years, that's absolutely true. But then if you zoom out to say 30 years, it flips on its head dramatically. And actually, mid caps outperform small caps, but small caps outperform large caps. So what this is telling you over the long term, and we actually implement this in our strategies, is that we actually focus mainly on the mid cap space. Doesn't mean we don't hold large caps, doesn't mean we don't hold small caps, but mid caps have the best risk versus reward over the long term. Why is that? Because there's still a lot of upside because they're not giant companies, meaning that they can add more market share, they can improve profitability, they can invest in their business and continue to grow. But they're big enough to where they probably have a very solid business to get to where they're at that is producing consistent cash flows, consistent profitability that they can reinvest in the business. And so over the longer term, mid caps do the best. And they have lower volatility than the small caps because of typically better balance sheets, more access to capital, and that profitability screen. So while the last 15, 20 years, yes, large caps have outperformed, it's kind of an anomaly. If you continue to bet on large caps, you're betting that these mega caps are going to continue to have the same type of margins and business that they've had for the past, that they built over the past 20 years. And the reality is of when it comes to technology, things move fast. And you're seeing that now with AI. And most likely those businesses won't be as profitable. And a lot of that capital, that CapEx, is going into the coffers of these small and mid-cap companies. Because this is these are indices where industrials are and financials are a much heavier percentage. And they're more sensitive to the overall economy as well. And then if you look at earnings expectations for this year, small caps are expected to increase earnings by 18%. Mid caps by 16%, so not far behind. Large caps by only 13%. And if you look at revisions of earnings, they're also improving for both small and mid caps, not nearly as much for large caps. So this momentum based on earnings expectations are certainly justified. But if I'm picking one, if you want to be the most aggressive, you go small caps. But if you're trying to balance risk versus reward, mid caps work well in rising economic environments, as well as low to moderate growth environments as well, because of their better stability. And that's why they tend to have better long-term risk versus reward. Now we're heading into a break, and we thank you for helping us achieve more than 62 million downloads in our history. And you can call me with your questions right now at 888-99-CHART.
Have you heard about parallel investing? Parallel investing differentiates KPP Financial because it aligns the interests of KPP principals with those of their clients as they each share the same risks and potential for success. Learn more anytime at investtalk.com. Just click on Portfolio Review.
Hi, InvestTalk. I was hoping you guys could let me know if you'd like Oracle, Microsoft, or Google for cloud, like a play on cloud, if you feel like this would be a good long-term investment. The price or the charts for some of these, I guess Oracle and Microsoft are just continuing to go lower. Like, are they approaching a buy zone? I know they have other aspects of their business. So if there's one that you like better and maybe why, based off of what else they do, and I'll listen on the show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, this kind of goes back to my video over the weekend, is that Google is winning. And anything touching OpenAI is simply melting. I would say melting completely, but it's not doing well. Oracle is, they obviously had a deal with OpenAI, and they were going to build, they're building all this infrastructure and they're burning capital, and the market's not liking that. Microsoft is in a clear downtrend. Obviously, they're invested and tied to OpenAI. Google is near a 52-week high. So the answer here is listen to the market. The market is telling you who is winning the AI race currently. Now, once again, that could shift. It was different a year ago than it is today. Maybe OpenAI comes out with a better model that blows Gemini away, but it's not the case right now. So bet on the horse that is winning the race. Sure, Microsoft, Oracle, they might get to a buy zone, but the problem is that they're just plowing so much money into these data centers without an understanding of the economic payback. Whereas Google, they're vertically integrated. They build their own CPUs. They have way more data because of search, because of YouTube, because of all of their assets that they own. Internally at KPP, we are moving to Google because of Gemini, because of the ability to use all their AI tools, not just Gemini, but Nano Banana, Notebook LM, etc. And being able to get all of our internal data about our strategies and our process, etc., is going to help us be even better than AI has already made us. We're already using Gemini for doing deeper research, getting AI summaries of earnings calls, etc. It's just better. And so bet on the better. Now, lastly, let's go to, speaking of AI, let's talk about what CEOs and individuals are thinking. Now, this is a study of 5,000 white-collar workers, and it asked about business productivity. Is AI boosting business productivity? Now, employees are saying AI isn't really saving them much time, versus executives are saying the opposite. More than 40% of executives say AI has saved them more than 8 hours of work a week. But two-thirds of non-management staffers say they save less than 2 hours a week or no time at all, which is very, very interesting. Now, the biggest issue is that the average worker is worried that it does more harm to the team than good. It doesn't come up with, a lot of times, answers that are factual. 40% say they would be fine never using it again. But I think this goes down to the fundamental issue with a new technology and why these AI companies are way ahead of themselves when it comes to investment. It's because they have to educate people on how to use them, how to build a prompt, how to talk to AI chats, and also to not take it for gospel. I tell this to my employees. It is not the end-all be-all, but it can be the start. It can give you a rough draft, but it's up to you to bring the human element and to figure out what makes sense, what doesn't. Do deeper research, but it can take you a big leap forward faster and get you started on a project and get you to the end better. That's what it is here. And so that's why I think it is, in the long term, AI is still going to have incredible impact. But in the short term, it's going to take a lot of time to find the right applications and then educate the white-collar workforce on how to truly use it to its maximum potential and prevent it from creating more problem, creating more slop that reduces productivity. I'm Justin Klein. Today's show made you think about anything about your financial picture, whether that is your AI exposure, your tech exposure, your exposure to small caps, mid caps. Whatever's going on with your financial picture, we are here to help guide you. And we do that by offering free portfolio reviews and you can schedule yours by heading to investtalk.com, click on the portfolio review button. Please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or our YouTube channel, and be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.